Right, Exodus 17. Exodus chapter 17. You know, as a preacher's kid, I grew up going to church a lot, and right from the get go, I remember my parents saying that, it was that first service right after I was born and out of the hospital. I was in church and been ever since, and I'm still convinced that if I don't go, my mom would still whoop me today, which is not a bad thing for sure. But I will say, is maybe just a testimony. And that is that I've been in quite a few different churches and all of that. But I will say that when you think about the amount of times that you've gone to church in general, the amount of times you've gone to church where it just felt like the Lord was working, sometimes that number is quite different. Sometimes I go to a church a lot, but then to know that the Lord is working, maybe a little. If that makes sense. And when the Lord's working, it's exciting. I don't know about you, but I look forward to Sunday. And I look forward to Wednesday night. And you say, well, you're the assistant pastor. Yeah, you're right. It's my job for sure. But at the same time, man, when the Spirit of the Lord's working, man, it's exciting. It's exciting. And it's not like, oh, I guess we got to go to church again. It's like, man, what's the Lord going to do today? And as Pastor mentioned, when the Lord's working like that, it's very fragile and a blessing from God. And we sure want to treat that as a fragile blessing from the Lord for sure. But no, He's not done working yet. He hadn't called us home, so there's still work to do. We're excited about that. Well, as we're in Exodus chapter 17, I know that the idea of working together as a church, it's like, hey, as a church, let's work together. Where are we going to go? Old Testament, right? I get that. But as we come to Exodus, I always seem like sometimes I got to put in these disclaimers and sometimes it's for myself. But I will say that as we look at Exodus 17 and we look at the children of Israel, I know that it isn't a story about a church working together. I get that, right? I do not believe in replacement theology. I believe that God still is going to use Israel, the nation of Israel. He's not finished with them yet. But while He kind of set them aside, it is our turn as a church and as churches. So those are my disclaimers, all right? I get that, right? But what we do find here is a great illustration of working together. So let's look at it, all right? Exodus chapter 17, we'll begin reading verse number 8. And the Bible says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now I know this passage of Scripture is quite familiar to us. You know, Pastor was in Exodus not too long ago as well. But as we look here, there is a really good illustration of what can take place when we're working together. So let's go, Lord, in prayer as we start. Lord, we thank You again for all of your many blessings to us. We thank you for all that you've accomplished in our hearts thus far. And I pray that you'd use the service today to be a help again. We thank you for all that we've heard, all that we've experienced. God, what we're asking is that you'd do it again. That you'd show up into this place. We're so thankful already for the songs that were sung, God, for the testimonies that were given. We're so thankful for all that you're doing. We pray that you'd work in the next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when you think about the children of Israel, I will say some words come to mind. This is Mark's word, okay? All right? Wine bags. All right? They're just a bunch of whiners and complainers, right? Right? They're kind of like the ones, you know, the ultimate pessimists that it's like, oh, somebody gave me $1 million. Oh, that's great. I'm going to have to pay a bunch of taxes now. Thank you. Right? I mean, when you think of the children of Israel, some words come to mind. Stubborn, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, wicked, complainers, right? All of those. And one word that doesn't necessarily come to mind is this, unity. Doesn't quite come to mind when you think about the children of Israel. But yet, hey, a broke clock is right twice a day, right? But when we look at the children of Israel, as we think about coming up to Exodus chapter number 17, and even in the beginning of chapter 17, is this, that ultimately God has been doing a great work in their lives, right? They've now exited out of Egypt, and God did a miracle by that. They said, hey, we're going to go ahead and let you go, and we're going to pay you on the way out, right? I mean, nothing but a miracle of God. And we see that time and time again. But every time there was a miracle, there was complaining, right? Oh, Lord, you brought us out here to die. Die in the wilderness. You know how good those onions and you know how we know that they were not thinking right? They were thinking onions and leeks were real good, right? No, right? But seriously, every time that God worked, there was just murmuring and complaining and, oh, God, you're giving us manna, but we would like some meat. So would you give us some oh, we've got it up to our ears now, please. And just over and over again. Oh, you brought us to the Red Sea, and now we're just here to die, right? We hear this time and time again, and yet God is patient. God is kind, and he still continues to perform these miracles for the nation of Israel, and we're blessed by it. I mean, who doesn't like a good reading of the crossing of the Red Sea, right? And who doesn't like a good reading of reminding them that God provided manna in the wilderness, and when they were complaining, yet God still provided water for them in the desert, and what a blessing it is. And really, the problem is we like to be real hard on Israel. But many times it might be a little bit more of a reflection in the mirror than what we would like, right? And I hate to say that, but that is true. And as we're here, they've been complaining, they've been murmuring. The Bible says they've been chiding with Moses, which, man, they're just really giving him the business, right? As Leave It to Beaver would say, just giving him the business. And so all that was taking place, but as we come here, in verse number 8, we just see this real big shift, right? Again, they're whining, they're complaining, they're murmuring. Oh, there's no water to drink here. We're just going to die. And God said, Moses, smite the rock. Here it comes, right? And there it was. And now, all of a sudden, right after that, so that's in 1 through 7, that they were thirsty and needed some water and complaining, that right there in verse number 8, we see a shift. And we want to talk about that shift about a little bit tonight. And just be reminded that complaining is always a symptom of a heart problem, okay? If you'll be remembering of that, sure, right? If you will remind yourself that when you find yourself in a place of complaining, it really is something deeper in the heart. And it needs to be something that we think about. And so while the complaining was a symptom of the heart, that was going on, we do see that God then does a great work. So right after that, so right after God provided the water, that Amalek comes to fight against Israel. Verse number 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. The Amalekites were no friends to Israel, right? They were no friends. Moses told Joshua, here's what we're going to do. They want to fight, let's fight. And Joshua, you choose out men to go out and fight with Amalek. You choose them out. So verse number 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Okay, so we see that part. Now in my mind, I come up with a group, with maybe some parameters that Joshua would have used to pick these men, right? As I mentioned, again, in my words, the place was full of a bunch of wine bags, right? Just whining and complaining. And so Joshua's got this job now given to him by Moses. Go pick us out some warriors. Go pick out some people, some men to fight, right? So here's some of the parameters I put. He probably picked some people that were strong, right? And we're going to pick out the strong ones, okay? Maybe he picked out this, the fighters, right? Who's up for a fight? Right? We're about to go to battle, so we don't want to be like, oh, that hurts. I got a hangnail. Right? We don't want those. Okay? We don't want those guys. So we want the strong. We want the fighters. Here's something I said. Maybe Joshua was looking for the people who were really sold out. Who's with us? Right? There's a difference of being with us and being with us. Right? That's two totally different things. Any sort of job that you know, there's some people that are there. They're not really with us, right? Sure, that happens a lot. They're the ones you get turned into HR because you give them the get well soon card. It's just because you want them to get better at their job, okay? Yeah, all right? So we see this, the strong, the fighters, the sold out. Here's this, the non-complainers, right? This is my list, okay? The non-complainers, and here's what I wrote. The ones who are on the same page. Moses says, Joshua, pick you out some men. We're going to fight Amalek. Okay? And in my mind, these are some of the people that he probably would have picked. Now, this group and these parameters are ones that I would have chosen. But I will say this, that some of these parameters must have been there. Because while we've seen time and time again in the children of Israel, whining, complaining, murmuring, and chiding, we've seen it time and time again. We see this, that with this group of men to go out and fight, we see no complaint. So whatever the parameters were, we see that now this group has been chosen and we see no complaint. We see warriors. We see people ready to fight the battle. Okay? So we see Israel then winning the battle. Again, you're familiar with the story, I'm sure, but if not, that's fine. We see Israel winning the battle only as long as Moses has his arms raised, right? So as Moses' arms are raised, then they're winning. And as soon as he puts them down, then they're losing, right? Then he puts them back up, and they're winning, and they're losing. They're winning, they're losing, right? So they see this. Now, I believe that when it comes to Moses' arms being raised, I believe it was far more than just the motion of his arms being raised, okay? There's a lot more to that. If that was the case, we'd all be walking around like this, right? I'm going to win. You're at Walmart. What are you doing? I'm winning, right? Oh, it's hard to drive a bus with your arms up, right? Doesn't work, right? So if it was just the motion of our arms being raised, then we'd all be walking around with our arms raised. We'd be winning all the time. You'd get so tired of winning, you'd say, can we stop winning? No, we're still going to win some more, right? No. But listen, it wasn't the motion of his hands being raised. Listen, I believe it was this. It was their dependence upon God. Their dependence upon God. Moses was raising his hands as he raised his hands. What motion is that automatically? Lord, we need you. Right? Right, Brother Copes? We used to give Brother Copes a hard time when I was in college, but it's very true that he'd say this sometimes in an invitation, and he would say, hey, raise your right hand. And okay, we'd raise our right hand. And he'd say, raise your left hand. And we'd raise our left hand, and we're like, we're just raising our hands, right? And he would say something like this. You know what that is? The ultimate sign of surrender. He said that while he was here. He said, it's the ultimate sign of surrender. And the truth of the matter is that while Moses' hands were up, their dependence was upon God to give them the victory. Their dependence was not upon their own strength, their own might, their own grit. It was the fact that they were dependent upon God. Now we see this, that first of all, now our points are kind of intermingled, all right? So we're just going to kind of apply as we go tonight. But it's this. Number one, it gets tiring doing the right thing. Now, I know what our theme is and we're headed there, okay? All right, but it gets tiring doing the right thing. What Israel needed was to be dependent upon God, right? They needed to depend upon God for Him to give them the victory. And this sign, as Moses was raising his hands, it was the fact that they were dependent upon God, but yet even in doing right, it can get tiring. It can get tiring. You see, doing what it takes to win the victory can be exhausting. Now, where are you headed with this? I'm reminded of the passage in Galatians 6, where it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Does that mean that we're not allowed to be tired in the work of the Lord? Oh, no. No. You know what we're going to do after this here in a few minutes, if I'll hurry it up? Hey, amen. We're going to take one of those blessed third ordinances. Nap, right? There's not a third ordinance, all right? Another disclaimer, all right? No. But it doesn't mean that we can't be tired. But listen, what it does mean is that we can't get tired of doing right. There's a difference in being tired in doing right and being tired of doing right. Maybe let me use this illustration. Sometimes you get tired of being the bigger person. Sometimes you want to wallow in the swamp, right? Let me just go ahead and tell you, at work sometimes somebody will mouth off to you and you're like, the bigger person says, okay, have a great day. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to walk away. But what inside of me says, throat punch him. Right? Right? Listen, there are times that we will get tired in doing right. Sure. And it's tiring. Not everybody in this world is trying to do right. Right? So when we're trying to do right, it's like the fish up the stream. We're going against the current. Right? And so what happens is, though Moses is trying to win the victory, right? But in doing what's right, he's still getting tired. He's getting wearisome, right? And so being tired while doing right is different than being tired of doing right. Because what Moses could have done is said, I'm just tired of my hands being raised. Well, whatever. And just give up. Well, what would have happened? Utter defeat, right? Utter defeat would have come if he got tired of doing what was right. Now, I know we're going to get to the other characters as well here, but if Moses would have got tired of holding his hands, Israel would have been defeated. We'd be reading a whole different story, right? Now, in application, we must never get tired of doing what is right. There are some times that taking the high road is exhausting. Hey, but don't be weary in well-doing. Continue to do what's right. Now I wrote this down. Some of the people that we have to have in our church continue to do right is this. Ready? Our pastor. Right? Man, we need him to be doing right. Right? It's okay. You can say amen. He'd agree. Right? We need him to be doing right. We need him not to get tired of doing right. Okay? All right, number two, I wrote this, our men, right? We've been talking about this a little bit recently, but our men must never get tired of doing right, okay? Number two, our ladies, right? Our ladies must never get tired of doing what is right. Our children, man, got to teach them to do right. Got to teach them to do right and keep doing it, okay? Now, if you don't fall into any of those groups, wink, wink, you fall into this one, our church as a whole. Our church as a whole must never get tired of doing right. Many times people get tired of doing what will bring victory, because what will bring victory is doing right. You ever get tired of the battle? Yeah, we struggle. The Bible very clearly tells us that the old man and the new man, that they struggle, they fight, they battle. And sometimes I just want to give in. I had a friend, and I've seen him in his life, kind of been up and down with his walk with the Lord. And I was like, man, what? You know, I'm so glad that you're walking with the Lord right now. And I just got to ask, man, what happened? What happened to you when you were away from the Lord? And this is what he said. I just got tired of fighting. And we're fighting culture. We're fighting just all sorts of things, right? And if you want to try and do right, you just set out on a course of trying to do right, and it seems like everything will fight against you, including yourself, right? But what happens is we get tired of doing what's right, which is being dependent upon God. And when we get tired of being dependent upon God, our first reaction will be that we turn inwardly, that we turn to our dependence not being on God, but our dependence being on me. And here's the problem. I can't pull my bootstraps up high enough to truly be dependent upon myself. I'm an epic failure when it comes to holding it all together. Okay? And what happens is when Israel, first of all, they've had their ups and downs. They've had their ups and downs. But what Moses is leading them is this, that we're just going to do right. We're going to stay dependent upon God. You remember the different scenarios through Israel's history? That at times God said, don't number them, right? Don't number your troops. Don't number your horses. Don't number those. Why? Why? Well, because you can't know a number? No, because what they were going to say is, we've got soldiers. How many you got? 3 million. Oh, really? Right? That's what would have happened. They would have numbered them and said, our confidence is in our might. But what needs to take place and what had to take place in their life for this victory to take place is that they had to stay dependent on God. Listen, as a church, we have got to stay dependent upon God. We've got to keep doing what's right. We've got to. I wrote these things. As a church, some of the things that we can't get tired and quit doing is this. Man, biblical authority. And we just can't get tired of letting the book rule us and govern us. We can't get tired of it. Well, what are we going to do? You know what our pastor is going to do? He's going to look into God's word, pray, ask the Lord for direction, and that's the direction we're going to go. We know that's how it goes right now, and we're thankful for it. But listen, we can't get tired of it. And we have a pastor who preaches the word. This is not a butter-up pastor kind of message, but it's right here. The spiritual leader of the children of Israel was Moses. And what they needed is for him to stay doing right. And so biblical authority, it's got to be there. Pastoral leadership, prayer, spiritual leadership, not just in the pastoral realm, but also as it comes to Sunday school and junior church and ministries and all of it, right? It's got to be coming from a spiritual place, right? Our outreach, we can't get tired of reaching out. We can't get tired of reaching out. We've got to make sure, hey, biblical correction, standards, loving and obeying Jesus, man, we just can't get tired of doing those things. We can't get tired of doing those. Why? Because then our dependence will be turning away from God upon our efforts. And what will that turn into? Shallow nothingness. It'll turn into wood, hay, and stubble, which will burn away. But if we'll stay dependent on God, and if we'll keep our hands raised in dependence to Him, listen, God can bring the victory. God can bring the victory. Now, we all get tired in the fight. And so here's what we learn, right? Number two is this in verse number 12. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Listen, we must be in a place like Aaron and Hur to help when the tired sets in. I know that's a lot of words right there, right? A point should be nice and simple, right? Lamar's not real good at that. But here's our point. We must be in a place like Aaron and Hur to help when the tired sets in. Here's the truth of the matter. Our pastor will get tired. Standing for the truth of keeping us dependent on the Lord, he'll get tired. But you know what he needs? He needs us to be in a place where we can be an Aaron and a Hur to say, hey, we're here to help you. We're here to help you. Listen to this. Moses had a solid rock to sit upon. You know where I'm headed. Hey, on Christ, the solid rock. Right? We have a solid rock, and his name is Jesus. Right? So we must, I know we're using this as a picture here, but listen, we must rest in Jesus when we get tired. And rest in the Lord. And I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm worn out from the battle. Listen, hey, rest in the Lord, first of all. Take that seat with Jesus being the foundation and rest in the Lord. But we also need those Aarons and Hurs, those people who will come and support the work that must be done. Listen, I'm telling you, Israel would have been defeated had Moses' hands not been raised, but also that some people wouldn't have come along and supported the work. It's a work that had to be done. We must work together to support our pastor as he oversees the battle. That is the role. It is the role. Moses was the leader, chosen by God to lead. And they had to be supportive, knowing that he was the guy who God chose, but understanding that the battle was not just for Moses. The battle was something they all had to join in on, right? Okay, so we must hold him up in support as he keeps his dependence upon God, sure. We must support him even, listen to this, even when we don't understand. Now, in my mind's eye, if you'll go to whatever weird landmark's brain is, all right? If you'll go there with me just for a minute. Now, Moses, Aaron, and Hur, the Bible says very clearly that they went to the top of the hill, right? They went to the top of the hill, and however it looks, okay? Again, this is Mark land. You've entered there, right? Beware, okay? So Moses is standing there, Aaron and Hur, right? And on this side, the battle's taking place. And the truth is, the warriors know what's going on. They see Moses. His hands are up. Man, we're winning, all right? We're winning. His hands are down. Oh, we're getting whooped, right? So listen, the warriors, they know that Moses got to keep his hands up, okay? Now, in my mind's eye, let's just think about the other side of the hill. Could it be something like this, the rest of the children of Israel? What is that goofball doing? You understand what I'm saying? Right. His hands just being up. Now there's a rock. Now he's sitting down with his hands up. It's weird. Oh, now those two guys holding his arm. What is going on? Right? Do you see what I'm saying? The guys over here, the ones in the battle, they're saying, oh man, Moses, you keep them arms raised. We're fighting. We're going to battle. But over here, maybe the Israelites who aren't a part of the battle, they're just like, what is this goofball doing? I don't know what's going on. He's crazy. I told you he was crazier than Hudal, right? But when it came down to it, regardless of whether they understood, the warriors, they understood, or whether the rest of the children didn't understand, Moses still had to keep his hands up. And the truth of the matter is, true support really only comes whenever we support when we don't understand. Hey, we're right there with you, preacher. Hey, right there with you. Now this, I don't really get it. No thanks. Right? And we're headed there. You know who was dependent upon Israel? Who was dependent upon Moses holding his arms out? The entire nation of Israel. The warriors, man, they sure were. Even the ones back home. Children, wives, frail, the innocent. They were all dependent upon him too. We understand what war would take place. And you come, you defeat them, and then you just really annihilate them. Go after the strong, and you continue all the way to the weak. That's what's happening today. Even Israel as a nation. You know when the Middle East will settle down in their mind? When Israel is wiped off the map. That's what they think in their mind. That's what they want. from the river to the sea. Right? They want them completely annihilated. And listen, Moses' hands being raised, the entire nation was dependent on them. So let's just apply it for a second. Listen, our church in its entirety has got to be in a place that we're all dependent on the Lord. All dependent on the Lord. And if we want to see the victory come, it'll come. We are completely and totally, as a whole, dependent upon the Lord. We see that. Now, I've already mentioned it, but number three is this. Others' lives depend on us working together. You see, again, Joshua and his men were just completely dependent upon Moses, who was dependent upon God, who ended up, Moses had support from Aaron and Hur. They were all dependent upon one another. They were all. Listen, future generations depend upon the work we do together. The work we do together. I said this to the kids. Sure. I got youngins and you do too. Man, we've got to be dependent upon the Lord, because them kids need us to be dependent on the Lord. They need us to be walking in victory through Christ, because we're dependent on the Lord. You know what? The people who aren't saved, they're dependent on us working together. Pastor mentioned that today. And as we work together, we can truly be a force going out into the dark world to win souls for Christ. And the lost are depending on us to work together. Now I wrote it this, I believe you'll understand what I said. What I mean is this: God depends on us to do the work together. Now, God can do whatever it is He wants to. But the way God has chosen to work is through His people. So that's not putting God in a box. That's just saying how God has chosen to do it. How God has chosen to reach the lost of this world is through churches just like Central Baptist Church in Gillette, Wyoming. That's how God's chosen to do it. So you understand when I say that God's dependent on us to do the work, God's asked us to do it. It's our job just to submit and to do it. Right? Sure. Our fellow church members need us to continue in the work, to work together. You see, sure, the illustration here is real easy. For the church folks, or for the support to support the leader. Sure, it's there. Easy. That's the easy picking fruit, right? For sure. But also understand that at different times, there will all be times when somebody else is tempted to be tired and to quit. What they need is somebody to come alongside of them, to raise their arms in dependence upon the Lord. As much as we do that for Him, we need to be willing to do that forever. And as we're staying dependent on the Lord, our fellow church members, our city depends on us to work together. Right? The whole nation of Israel, the ones that understood, the ones that didn't understand, future generations were depending upon Moses to stay dependent on the Lord. So we just gotta stay dependent on Him. People who need victory in their lives. Listen, and I grew up, Texas Panhandle's really good at one thing. We're really good at making meth, apparently. Now, let me just go ahead and tell you, that's not a real good thing to be good at, all right? You understand that, right? But I'm telling you, man, Hutchinson County, the county that I grew up in, is not a big one. We don't have any big cities at all. We have Sanford. Besides Pastor, anybody ever heard of Sanford, Texas? Yeah, 218 is their population. Yeah, Sanford, Texas. We have Stinnett, Texas. That's our county seat. And they got a whopping, like, I think 1,200 people there. And then Fritch, which is 2,300. We're the thriving metropolis of our county, right? But I'm telling you, they went on a 30-day just rampage on meth. And in 30 days, they busted some like 64 meth labs. Just ran. And that, I'm in our county, right? Now, where are you getting at that? I'm just telling you, that might have been in Texas, but I'm telling you, in Gillette, you just drive down the road. you see people who need victory in their life. We're in bondage to drugs, alcohol. The list could continue. What those folks need is victory through Christ. You know what they need? They need us to work together to get that victory. Okay? So people who need victory in their lives depend on us to work together. Now we see this. We see the children of Israel. We see Moses. We see Moses' hands being lifted up in dependence upon God. We see Aaron and Hur coming and supporting him to make sure that the work continues. And we also see this. We see the victory, man, as they work together. I'm telling you, the entire nation of Israel, though they weren't all fighting the battle or standing on the mountaintop, they were all dependent on them working together. No matter which character. Moses, man, got to be dependent on the Lord. Aaron, Hur, got to be dependent on the Lord. The warriors, got to be dependent on the Lord. No matter what place it is, in order for victory to happen, everybody's got to be doing their part. And remember, from the New Testament passages, there are no small parts. Well, I'm just telling you, I don't know that I could go into spiritual battle. Hey, can you pray? And that's spiritual warfare right there. See, I just want to remind you that no matter what spot you are, the Israelites who are there, up on top of the mountain, or fighting the battle, wherever they were, they all had a part. They all had a part. Now, when it comes to our church, there is nobody who is inconsequential. You say, I can't preach a message. Can't teach a class. Whatever my mobility might be, where I can't go to grow, whatever it is, and there are real things. I'm not belittling that at all. Please, not belittling it at all. But I want you to know that there's a place and a work for us all. There's a work. There's a work for us all, and as we work together, we can see the victory. I believe that in this passage of Scripture, what we see is a group of people who just bought in. They're the warriors. And I'm bought in. I just tell you that sometimes churches are made up of two groups of people. There's the edge people. And that's no insult, please. There's no insult in this at all. There's some people who are kind of on the edge. And we love coming. They'll support. They'll be there. That's great. When it comes down to it, man, they're enjoying the benefits. Right? But there's another group in churches many times, and I'm going to term it today as the warriors. Warriors. And they're there, they're faithful, they're a big part. And listen, though whether you're in one group or the other, I already told you, God says we're all important. We're all important. The truth of the matter is that the entire nation of Israel got to reap benefits of a group of people who quit whining and complaining and started to be dependent upon God and got to see a victory take place. You know what that was? When they worked together. And we need Moses up there. And we need Aaron and Hur. We need the warriors. We need them all. And we got to see a great victory. Now, the truth is that we want Central Baptist Church to be victorious. What does that mean? You know what victory is? We see God do a great work. What is the work? Lost souls being saved. Believers following in human baptism. Disciples being made. And continuing on, just replicating the same thing over and over and over again. I'm telling you. And Central Baptist Church, whether we grow to be, if we grow to 1,000, first of all, that's a really big church. Yeah, it's a big one. But you do understand that 1,000 is what, only 3% of our community? 3%. Got a great work to do. What we need to do is victorious. So it's going to first start that we're dependent on the Lord. Now, in conclusion, everybody's favorite. In conclusion, I do want to point this out. Verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Now, defining Jehovah Nissi is really easy. The Lord, our banner. That's what Jehovah Nissi means. The Lord, our banner. Now, what does that mean? Three words to break down what it means by the Lord being our banner. He's our protection. He's our victory. He's our hope. Well, that's good, isn't it? And he's our protection. He's our victory. He's our hope. Now, what God told Moses to do is this. You set up an altar. And you call the name of it Jehovah Nissi. I want my people to know that it was me who protected them, who gave them the victory, who gave them hope. Right? Now, I understand the Old Testament, sure, the altar was a great place of worship that God used in a mighty way. But I'm just telling you that while we don't have a physical altar necessarily just like they did in the Old Testament, I will tell you this. Our church does have an altar. Our altar is right here. And when God does a great victory, he said, hey, you set up an altar. You worship me. You worship me. You be reminded that I'm the one who protected you. I'm the one who gave you victory. And I am the one who gives you hope. Now, what does all that mean? I'm just telling you, we all have a work. We all got to work together to accomplish a great work. And that is the fruit that we're seeing. What a blessing. What a blessing to be excited about services to come in, almost expecting to be like, what's going to happen today? Man, who's going to get saved today? Man, what guests are going to come walking in? I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but I'm really jacked up about it, all right? Man, I'm excited. Excited about it. But I want to kind of give this little plug here is this. That as a church who works together, one of the things that we'll use regularly as a church is the altar. It's the altar. A place for us to worship the Lord. A place for us to get victory in our lives. Sure. A place of hope. And please understand. What I'm saying this afternoon is this. If we're going to be a church that God wants to use, and he is, we're so thankful. But what it's going to take is for our church to say, man, I'm so thankful for the victory that God's given to us. And I'm so thankful for it. But I've got to bow and worship. I've got to take some time. You know what an altar is? It's a place of humility. You know why many times we pray when we get on our knees? You know what that is? It's not a physical posture necessarily. It's a spiritual posture in saying this, Lord, I am unworthy of you. I come before you humbly. And some victories need to be won. Sure. If I could just, this little plug, something that was taught to me. That is this, that praying that one day that God comes knocking on that little boy's heart. And I know that God is. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I know that there'll come a day when that little boy gets a knock from heaven. He's got to respond. What do you mean? Man, he's got to say yes to the Lord. First of all, in salvation. And after that, in surrender. And man, when the Lord comes knocking, man, I want that little guy to know how to respond. So again, this is personal testimony. I'm telling you, it's his dad. When the Lord comes knocking to me at that pew, and a message like today, Lord, you're speaking. I'm going to come and I'm going to respond at the altar. Why, for a show? No, because I need God to do work in my life. I'm just telling you, I want that little boy to know how to respond when the Lord comes knocking his door. So as a parent, and I got to utilize the old. Why? Because I got young. I'd have a number two. But does that make sense? Israel, we've experienced such a great victory. Man, we were dependent on the Lord, and God gave us the victory, and here's our proper response. We take time to worship. Take time to do business with God. I'm not looking for any sort of, well, we better respond today because Mark didn't know. Blah, blah, blah. That doesn't mean two hill of beans to me. It doesn't. I'm just telling you, as a church that works together, listen, we can work on the parking lot together. Okay. We can work on the paint together. We could work on the playground together. We could work with the hymnals, singing together. Man, we could work together as we listen to our pastor preach the word. Man, we can go out on Grow next Saturday. There's a plug. Right? We'll work together. But I'm just telling you, we're going to be a church who experiences great victory. We've got to be ones that will work together at the altar. We say, God, do a work at home. I'll respond. Respond to you. I'm just telling you, the great days, the best days of Central Baptist Church are not behind us. They're ahead of us. There's great victory to be had. We'll just place our dependence on the Lord and we'll follow Him and work together. And after He does a great work, we'll worship. True worship, true Bible worship. It's not that we just, this is worship to the Lord. True Bible worship is where we get on our hands and knees and we say, God, forgive me, for I'm a wicked man, but you are worthy. That's what real worship will take. We'll follow Him. God will give the victory. Remember, it'll take all of us. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. We pray that you'd help us. God, we thank you for this illustration. God, we thank you that you used Moses. God, we thank you that you used the children of Israel to teach us things. God, we sure thank you for Aaron and Hur, that they were there to support. God, we also thank you for the warriors that didn't complain, didn't murmur, just got to the work. God, we thank you that even the entire nation of Israel got to benefit from their dependence upon you. God, I just pray that we'd be depending on you. God, that we'd get to see you do a mighty work as we work together. God, you're already doing it. God, you're already doing a mighty work. We're so thankful for it. God, I pray that as Pastor preached today, God, I pray we'd protect it. God, that we'd fight for it. God, in a right way. Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand to our feet.